Brett wanted me to announce to everybody that the first LTC pre-convention event deadline is coming up next Sunday, so be mindful of that. You can turn in everything to Brett or Jennifer. It's an honor to be here with you today as we begin a new year. There's a lot of challenges in front of us, a lot of opportunities that are in front of us, and as we reflect on 2020 and move into 2021, maybe this is what we're thinking. 2020 actually won. But I hope we don't feel that way. I hope we have a bigger perspective than just the coronavirus for 2020. I hope we're able to see a lot of the blessings that came from a year that was very difficult. This is better. As we go into a new year, I think it's important for us to look back, to take just a few moments to reflect on what we've been able to do as a church family, on what we've been able to do in our individual lives. So before we look ahead to 2021, let's take just a few moments to look back. I know it sounds scary because we look at 2020 and there were two big events that really dominated everything, and in many ways, those events were negative. But I hope you'll indulge me here for just a few moments. During 2020, we were able to help a lot of families with physical needs. If you look at the ministry of Christ, when Jesus was here on earth, he was concerned about the whole person. He was concerned ultimately about where people were at spiritually, where they were at in their relationship with God. But Jesus was also concerned about people on a physical level. And we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so many stories that we read about our Savior involve him helping people physically, feeding those who were hungry, healing those who were sick, building relationships with those who were the outcasts of society. Jesus was concerned about people physically, emotionally, and it was his concern and his compassion that opened up a lot of doors to help people spiritually. During 2020, there were a lot of physical needs because of what we went through as a society, because of what our world was facing. And we rose up to that challenge. We were able to help a lot of families, families that needed rent assistance, people who needed help with food, with utilities, with medical bills, just the basic necessities of life many people struggled with. And through our giving, through your help, we were able to help at least 26 families in these areas. And the help that we were able to provide was significant amounts of money to help families meet these essential needs that were pressing down on them. We were also able to host two blood drives here at Westside. And we look at that and maybe we think, well, what difference does that make? It makes a big difference if you're in need of this. And so through our efforts, we were able to provide many units of blood to help. And during 2020, there was a great shortage because of what was going on with the pandemic. As always, we had a great effort to reach out in the mission field, from Nigeria to Brazil to New Zealand, Haiti, India, and here in America. Our missions program is a strong part of what we do. And next week when the budget is presented, you'll be able to see the breakdown of the money, where we send it, and some of the results that we get. I've mentioned this on several occasions as I have spoken to you. On a regular basis, I'm able to get updates from our missionaries. And we do our best to update everybody on what's going on in each of these mission points. Even this morning when I was looking at my email, there was another message from Nigeria, Mike Udom. And from his work, from the efforts there in Nigeria, another soul was baptized into Christ, just like we were able to witness here this morning. And whether someone is baptized here or in Brazil, Nigeria, New Zealand, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. And one of the things that I've been so proud of as we reflect on 2020 is we were able to continue with our mission work, both locally here and also abroad. We actually received some news from a missionary who was working with the church here in America, and because of what happened with the virus, that church was really struggling financially, and his support was cut. And there's been cases of that. where churches, because of what happened in 2020, are having to make drastic cuts. I just want to applaud you as a group of God's people for continuing to give, because it allows the elders to continue to support these works here locally and also over in the mission field. During 2020, we were also able to do some PPE donations to Norman Regional, also sanitizer donations to local fire stations. Lysol and sanitizer assistance was handed out, and we know how important that was. I guess we could have hosted a toilet paper drive as well, because at one point, everybody needed toilet paper. But we were able to help people in some real ways cope with the pandemic. Our Thanksgiving food basket giveaway was very successful, as it always is. Brett did a great job of leading this, and just like we've done in previous years, we were able to hand out 105 food baskets. We were able to help families at the 4 middle schools here in Norman and also 7 elementary schools. And we always have more than enough. When we set out the tables and we put down what we need to put these baskets together, it's always a great rallying point for the congregation. And I appreciate everybody, what they did to make this possible once again. When people are hurting physically, to be able to not only see the need, but step in and help. That's what Jesus' ministry was all about. In areas of community service, from storm debris cleanup to youth service work days to food pantry assistance, all of these things continued in 2020. Now, a lot of times we look back on this year that was so difficult for us, so challenging for us, and it seemed like a lost year. Everything that we lost, everything that we were accustomed to that we weren't able to do anymore. But there were many things that we were able to keep doing, many ways in which we were able to help people here in this church family and people in our community and people around the world. Our holiday community assistance allowed us to help provide toys for foster children, food assistance for students at local schools, and family adoptions for toys and food. And there were some letters that were shared with some classes that helped in some very specific ways, and just to see the notes that were written. Moms, dads, who were just elated, who were ecstatic that they were able to provide something for their families on Christmas Day. I hope as you look back on 2020, first of all, as a church family, and also in your individual lives, you just don't see a lost year. You see the many different ways that we were able to continue to serve Christ, that we were able to hopefully make a difference in the lives of many individuals and families. But now here we are with the new year, 2021. Now, what is necessary for us to make this a great year? I think that's what everybody's thinking about. And maybe it's because we have some hope on the horizon with the vaccine. We have hope that this pandemic is going to come to an end. But I want us to look beyond the physical. Many people, their lives were just engulfed in physical things in 2020. I want us to look beyond that. I hope that we can focus in on what's more important than any physical thing: our relationship with God, where we're at spiritually. Maybe when we think about making 2021 great, the first thought that we have is getting rid of the virus. Or maybe we think of getting a promotion at work, or being able to be a star on our sports team. Or maybe some other physical thing immediately comes to mind. What about spiritually? There has to be something within us spiritually. Because no matter what we have physically, whether we have everything or whether we have nothing, if all we have is physical blessings, then we really don't have much. As we begin a new year, I want us to really put our relationship with Jesus to the test. Because whether we're looking at entering 2021 or 2022 or any past year, to me, the way to make it great is to have a close walk with Jesus Christ. And the closer that we can be to our Savior, the better our lives are going to be. So let's put our relationship with Christ to the test. As you read through the Bible, starting in Genesis and making your way all the way to Revelation, one of the things that becomes apparent with humanity is that we need help. We need help to make it. And it starts all the way back with the first human being on earth, Adam. God created Adam in his image. Humanity was the crowning point of God's creation. After God created the light, after God created the stars, after he created the sun, after he created the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, he created man, Adam, in his image. And the very first time in the Bible where we read something not being good is when God looked at man's aloneness. And he saw that man was alone. And he made this statement, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So he created Eve. And as you read there in Genesis chapter 2, God's creation was called a helpmeet, a helper for Adam. God was able to look at Adam and understand that he needed help. And he provided it in Eve. And you just continue to make your way through Genesis. We get to the great story of Noah. Noah stands out to us because of his righteousness. Noah lived on earth when everybody was wicked. Everybody's thoughts were focused on wicked things. Their actions were full of wickedness. But amongst this wickedness, Noah, he stood out. He stood out because of his relationship with God. And there's a phrase that's described, that's listed in Genesis 6, that describes Noah. God said that Noah walked with him. We need that type of relationship with our Father. We need that type of connection with God. And as we're moving into 2021 and we're reflecting on our lives, we're looking at what's possibly missing. I think for a lot of people, it's this closeness with God. To be able to examine ourselves, for God to look down at us. And be able to make that same statement. Here is a person, here is a man, here is a woman, here is a teenager, here is a college student, here's a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife that's walking with me. Those great compliments that we read about Noah in Genesis chapter 6, these are compliments from God. This is what God is able to see when he looks at the life of Noah. He sees a man who was righteous, a man who was blameless in his time, a man who walked with him. In 2020, in a lot of ways, maybe it was the most difficult year we've ever had to actually walk with God. Because of everything that happened, because of the challenges, because of the difficulties, maybe we had questions, maybe we had doubts. Maybe we looked at the world and everything that was happening, the negativity, the news feeds that were just continually bad. And we just look around us and we think to ourselves, well, what's the point? Well, there's a point. There's a big point. And Noah understood it. Try to envision what Noah saw when he looked around at the world that he lived in. God actually describes the society. Everybody's thoughts were focused on wickedness. Noah and his family were the only ones who were found to be righteous. Can we even imagine what that would be like? We look even here this morning. How many families are represented here this morning? Well, there's a lot more than one. If Noah was gathered to worship back during his time, it was just him and his family. There was nobody else. And it wasn't like he could travel 5 miles down the road and find another group of believers. There was nobody. Talk about being alone. And that just makes it so much more significant that in the midst of this wicked culture, Noah still held on to God. He didn't let the events of society, he didn't let or allow the nightly news feeds to destroy his walk with God. He just kept walking with him. And what does God do for Noah? Well, he does the very same thing that he did for Adam. God looked at Adam. He saw that it wasn't good for him to be alone, so he gave him a helper. He created Eve. God looked down at Noah. He saw a man who was righteous, a man who was blameless in his time, a man who walked with him. And he gave him an ark. so that he could be saved in that great flood, so that he and his family could walk again on the face of the earth and repopulate it. There's a scene at the end of Harry Potter, The Chamber of Secrets, where Harry's talking to Dumbledore. And Dumbledore's talking to him about what took place down in the chamber. And Dumbledore made this comment to Harry: "You must have shown me great loyalty down in the chamber." If you remember that scene, the bird, the phoenix, comes in and it cries on Harry's arm, which had been injured by that big serpent, and he was healed. And that bird came down in that movie, of course, this is Hollywood, because of the loyalty that Harry showed Dumbledore. On a much bigger scale, real life, Noah showed great loyalty to God. If there was ever a man who could have easily bailed out, if there was ever a man who could have just went with the waves of culture and just been swept up in everything that was going on, it was Noah. Because everybody was going the opposite direction. Imagine walking down a road and you're walking this way and everybody else in the entire world is going that way. How difficult would it be to keep going this way even if you knew it was right? That was Noah. Noah's going this way, God's over here, but everybody else is headed over there. What would you do? What would you do at your school if everybody else was going the other direction? What would you do at your work if everybody else was going the other direction? What would you do in our society if everybody else, all of your friends, all of your neighbors, were going the other direction? Would you have the loyalty to God to keep walking his way? That was Noah. And God provided him help. He provided him the ability to build that ark that saved both him and his family. Oh, we can just keep going. We can look at Abram. What did God provide Abram? Well, he provided him land. He provided him a nation. He provided through him an heir through which all the families of the earth will be blessed. God certainly helped Abram. What about Joseph? Joseph, his life, it was up, it was down, it was all over the place. There had to be moments in Joseph's life where he had to think, why has God done this to me? Why has God abandoned me? Why has God just left me here all by myself? But in every bad situation that Joseph ended up in, God was still there. I think there's times when Satan tries to work through the negativities of life, through the struggles that we go through, through the hardships, through the illnesses, through the deaths. And he tries to make us think that now God's not there. Well, I'm hurting, I'm suffering. That must mean that God turned away from me, that God turned his back on me. That's what Satan wants us to believe. And Joseph had a lot of opportunities to think that when he was down there in the pit where his brothers threw him instead of killing him. Thanks a lot, guys. At least you just threw me in a pit. Joseph had to think, God, where are you? Joseph was down there in that pit. There was nobody else with him. Talk about being alone. But God was still with him. And he ended up in Potiphar's house. He rose to a position of prominence. But then the rug was pulled out from under him again because of the actions of Potiphar's wife. And now he ends up in prison. What's bad enough to be in a pit? Now he's in a prison. But once again, God is with him. And Joseph is blessed. And God helps him. He elevates him to a position of prominence within Egypt, which enabled him to save his entire family physically because of the famine that had arisen. We can just keep going. Moses was provided help by God. When God asked Moses to go and lead the Israelites out of Egyptian captivity, Moses, he was like, God, what are you doing? Why are you asking me? I'm not a great speaker. I'm not a great spokesperson to go in and stand before the most powerful person in this world. Come on, God, come up with another plan. But God provided Moses help. He provided him Aaron, He provided him a staff. And God went and he stood before Pharaoh. He stood before this powerful leader, the world's empire at the time. And through the power of God, he was able to finally convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And as Moses led the Israelites out, they come to the Red Sea, and Moses is thinking, all right, now what? At least the Israelites were. And what does God do? Well, he provides help once again, and he parts the Red Sea, and here the Israelites walk to freedom. And then they're out on the other side of the Red Sea, and God feeds them. He provides them water. God helped his people. If you want a summary statement to wrap up everything that the Bible is trying to tell us, maybe that's something we can hold on to. God will help his people. After Moses led the Israelites, another leader emerges, Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, what an amazing chapter. God is giving Joshua a pep talk. He's basically letting him know what he's in for. Because leading those people, it was difficult. It was challenging. And Joshua knew the Israelites. He was one of them. He had seen the ups and the downs that they went through as a nation. But in Joshua chapter 1, God promises Joshua, help. Joshua, you're not doing this alone. Just be strong. Be courageous. Just stick with me. And God does some amazing things through Joshua to secure the land that he had promised to Abram many, many years ago. The presence of God makes all the difference. And that was the help that God provided Joshua. All of these great stories that we read about in the Bible that contain, make sure you get this, contain real people, real human beings, from Adam to Eve to Noah to Abram to Joseph to Moses to Joshua. It's real people who have walked on earth, real people who have known life's victories, real human beings who have also known life's struggles. And God helped each and every one. It was a sad day in the life of King Saul when the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Because at that moment, Saul was left alone. It was up to Saul to do everything his way, which is what he had decided to do anyway. And from that moment, when we read in Scripture that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, we knew that Saul was doomed. There's something that I found to be true in life. I don't know if you've experienced this. But when you're examining somebody's life from the outside looking in, isn't it easy to tell what they need to do? Isn't it easy to look at somebody else's life? You get all of the details, you get the situations, you get the struggles, and it's easy to say, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. We do that with people that we read about in the Bible. We look at King Saul, and we see what Saul is doing. We see his jealousy. We see the rage that he has against David. We see him drifting further and further away from God. And as we look at Saul, we know exactly what he needs to do. Saul, wake up. Saul, come back to God. Saul, don't drift away. You need God's help. Isn't it easy to see that? We look at David when David sins with Bathsheba and everything leading up to that. We're like, David, walk away. David, don't do this. We know how this is going to end. This is not going to go well for you. It may look great right now, but it's not. It's a trap. Satan is setting a trap for you. Isn't it easy to see when Satan sets a trap for somebody else? How blind we are when Satan's trying to entrap us. It's a tragic day when Saul walked away from God and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him because he no longer had God's help. That help, David had it. He had it when he walked out and took on Goliath. We know it wasn't this shepherd boy who took down that great giant. We know that it was God working through David. And once again, we see God helping his people. And it's no different for us today. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 4. As we take our first steps into this new year, I think these words can make a big difference for us. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 14. Here the writer of Hebrews is telling us about Jesus, the one person who can make this year great for us, the one person who can make our lives great. Picking up in verse 14, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, it's obvious who the writer's talking about. This is all about Jesus Christ, the only one who passed through the heavens, who came down here to earth, the great high priest. This is about Jesus Christ. And we look at what Jesus has done for us. If you just want to sum it up, just use the word help. Because Jesus has helped us in ways that we cannot help ourselves. He helped people physically when he was alive on earth. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He helped people emotionally. He reached out to those who were the outcasts of societies. He befriended those that nobody else wanted to be friends of. But make no mistake about it, the greatest thing that Jesus did was help us spiritually. He gave his life for us. He made possible for us what nobody else can do, what we are too weak, too powerless to do for ourselves. He gives us the opportunity to be saved. He is the great high priest, the one who goes in before God, who makes the sacrifice. But this was different because the sacrifice wasn't an animal. The sacrifice was his very life. Jesus has done everything that he could possibly do to help us. Have you ever felt that way about somebody in your life? You know, there's people in my life that I look back on, and I realize they did everything within their human power to help me. And there's still people that I have in my life that I know continue to do that. No one has helped me more than Shannon. And I know she grows tired of me saying, hey, can you come help me? Because those are words I speak often. But I reflect on my life, some of the ministers I've been able to work with, from Tony Cassie and Manford, to Leon right here at Westside, to Brett and Doug and Drew, people who have helped me in ways that they probably don't even realize. And just the members here at Westside, the relationships that you're able to develop, you help me. You make a difference in my life. But nobody has helped me like Jesus Christ. And now what the writer is encouraging us to do, we know what Jesus has done for us. He has done everything that he can do for us. He's laid his life down for us. And now we're challenged to hold fast the confession. And the writer doesn't tell us, well, hold on whenever things are going good. Hold on when your life is everything that you imagined it would be. No. Because these Christians, they were struggling just like us. They were, once again, real people. Just hold fast. Hold on. We have something in Jesus Christ that we should never let go of. And we look at the events of this world, whether it's another election year, whether it's another pandemic, whether it's other persecution. Guys, you have something in Jesus Christ that cannot be taken away from you. Hold on to it. Now let's keep reading here in Hebrews 4 because it just keeps getting better. Because we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's that word once again, isn't it? That word help. You see, Jesus brings things to our lives that we can't find anywhere else. And there are some big words that are mentioned right here in Hebrews 4, verse 16. You want to find grace? You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ. You want to find mercy? It's available to you in Jesus Christ. You want help? Oh, you can find it. It's right in front of you. And so right now, once again, I ask you to reflect on your life. Reflect on your own walk with Jesus, your own relationship with the Father. So it's easy for us to look at everybody else and say, well, this person needs to do this, this person needs to do that, this person could use a little bit of this. Just look at your own life. As we begin 2021, I can say this about all of us. Everybody here, we could use a closer walk with our Savior. Maybe you need to start that walk right now. Help's available. Help that you can't find anywhere else. If you'll submit to Christ, if you'll be baptized in His name, just like we witnessed earlier, all of your sins will be washed away. That's unbelievable. That's help beyond anything we can imagine. If you need that help, we invite you to come now as we stand in